You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name's Tony Cicada. I've got the King, Scott Engel, the Fantasy Executive. I've got Donnie Burns, and of course, Greg Sussman off this week. He is in he's in Southern Florida. Greg Sussman, Fantasy Executive. You think he's enjoying his vacation?
Yeah, I'm quite sure he is enjoying it, getting a little bit of rest, sleeping in a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Got his girlfriend down there with him, you know what I mean? So, you know, get to, rub feet, you know what I'm saying? get to rub feet till 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. So, shout out to Greg Sussman.
Corey, you have some audio from that?
Your feet are cold.
Is that a thing? Rubbing feet's like a thing?
Yeah, you know, you
cuddle. My Hulkamania.
Cuddle up. You know, you cuddle up.
You think Greg's a pedicure guy?
Ooh, I can see Greg being a pedicure guy, yeah.
Yeah, like giving direction,
Donnie.
Too.
Donnie?
Yeah,
I'm
here.
Oh, there we go. Are you all right today? Sometimes you're a little slow.
Yeah, no, I was editing.
Oh, you were editing? So you're multitasking. Can you put a poll up? Is Greg Sussman a guy that enjoys pedicures, yes or no?
Do you actually want me to put this up?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't bring it on the radio.
Okay. You're the boss.
That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah. I think he does. I think he likes. Have you ever had a pedicure, Scott?
No, I haven't. I don't roll in Greg's neighborhoods, you know.
I've had it done like 3 or 4 times. It's a weird feeling. Really? How about you, Fantasy Executive?
Yeah, I had it done before too. The feet, we was going to the beach, right? And my old lady was like, "You got to do something with those things before you put on some flip flops. The kids are going to be embarrassed. Yeah. I'm going to be embarrassed."
Actually, I think Greg's got to be a pedicure guy because he's the kind of guy who walks around in Docker shorts and flip flops.
I never seen Greg good in the summertime.
No, he strikes me as that kind of guy.
Okay,
like Dockers, like a Ralph Lauren, college shirt, Dockers shorts, flip flops kind of guy.
Yeah, I like flip flops in the winter, so I could see. Sometimes it's crazy though, but they really gnaw at your feet, and you're all with these women, and you can't understand what they're talking about. And they got a chair that vibrates. It's got like your back. It massages you while you lay there.
Yeah,
in your chair. It's a crazy feeling.
Tony's
got
another place mentally right now.
No, it's, they take the thing and they scrape the bottom of your foot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But mine was real bad. So they were scraping the bottom of my foot, and then the razor broke. you break, you buy.
Oh, boy.
Let's move on.
I think, I'll be in New York the final week in March. I think I'm going to tell Mike Cardano we need Roto Experts pedicure day.
Yeah, there you go. I'm down for it.
Okay, the angle there, right? He'll sell some souvenirs and get a pedicure. That's what we need, Scotty. We need a Roto Experts gift shop.
That'd be nice, yeah.
We do. We should have a Rockin' Riley's here.
That's what I'm saying.
The lobby of the hotel.
Not the lobby. It doesn't look cheap in the lobby, Scott. Maybe. Oh, no, the lobby on the 6th floor. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
There we go.
A little Roto
Crush
Experts.
Yes, Crush or Flush is something we got talking about this morning. Tom McFeely's article over at Roto Expert, his series over at Roto Experts, exclusive Edge package, which is now available for your purchasing. As he has Crush or Flush for each of the positions. We're looking at the shortstop position, and this Tom McFeely, he's a character, but he's got his guys that he likes, he's got his guys that he dislikes, and he crushes or flushes them. Now, Scott, did Tom McFeely come up with this idea on his own, or did you guys?
No, it was his own.
He's very good, right?
Yeah.
This thing's got staying power.
It does. He's been doing it for a few seasons now.
Oh, it tells you how much I pay attention to Tom McFeely. I gotta get my life together. I gotta get Tom McFeely.
You need to get a pedicure, you know, and read
some Tom McFeely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe get like a Tom McFeely keychain in the Roto Experts gift shop.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, that Corey was talking about, along with the Greg Sussman wrestling figure.
I bet you Greg Sussman had a Ken doll. You know I'm right. That's why it's funny.
Oh boy.
The Jake Seeley Magic 8 Ball.
Oh no. We got to ask him when he comes back. Cuz I have to know the answer to this.
Then you got the Mike Florio what are those dolls that, like, you pull the string and they talk?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, kids would say, "Corey, you're so funny."
See, I'll tell you what. I had a bad childhood. I didn't really have, but I had one thing. I had a bad childhood, and then we'll get back to the Crush of Flesh Show. It stops. My dad was hardcore. My dad wouldn't let us have any dolls. I couldn't have G.I. Joe. Like, I was mad. I couldn't have G.I. Joe. But the one that really made me mad, back in the day when I was growing up, Evel Knievel was a big thing, and you could make him jump over things.
Yeah, it had
right?
the Energizer, and like you'd
wind
it up.
My dad wouldn't let me get Evel Knievel. I was so mad at him because I couldn't get any dolls. Like, it was against the rules back then. Boys didn't have dolls or things. So my kid has like 200 wrestlers. Like, I'm overcompensating for my childhood. Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to get the one action figure I really wanted as a kid.
What's that?
It was like they released the Kiss action figures in 1977, and I wanted the Ace Frehley figure, and my mother said no, I couldn't have any of it.
Why not?
Because she was religious at the time and thought they were like a Satan band.
Oh. How old were you?
Well, I was 11.
Oh, yeah. I'm about to say you should have got a job, but you
can't. I had a job, but I wasn't allowed to buy it with my own money. I couldn't bring it home.
I
worked
at
a flea market when I was 11.
Put it in your backpack.
Would have found. I later got the figure, though, years later.
You probably still have it.
I do.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just got a text.
And it was
Donnie
my mom who got it for me. She said she was sorry.
Donnie don't work enough with us. Donnie just sent me a text asking, do I really put this poll up?
Yes, Don Burns. Put the damn
Don making
ball
a
up.
Lot of mistakes. Yeah. First off, okay, he asked you because you want to do it. Second off, you don't text Tony anything confidentially because he's going to read it on the air.
Oh, I already knew that, but I didn't want to intrude on you guys talking right now.
As Dribble Cabrera, Scotty, that's your guy. Is Tom McFeely say crush or flush?
Crush. He's a good value.
According to Tom McFeely, it's a crush. A pleasant surprise for the Mets. He had 23 home runs. He hit .280, but come down to Tixa, 18 and .270, and he'll take that. He's a nice little bargain. Yeah, he's a crush. And he points out on the Tim Anderson flush that as Drupal Cabrera brings up better numbers in any category except steals, and yet he goes 6 to 8 rounds later than Tim Anderson.
Yeah, Drupal Cabrera is not sexy to anybody, but like, it's like he's criminally overlooked.
I don't know about prosecuting people.
It's not that serious.
You didn't draft as Drupal Cabrera, 5 to 10.
Yes. Ron on Twitter says, Scott, that's okay. I sent you an Ace Frehley action figure later.
He did. He did.
See that?
Yes, he did.
Is that why you love him?
I loved him before that.
Okay.
Yeah. He came in. He was one of our first guests to actually come in studio. Yeah, the mailman.
Some of the things he writes on Twitter got me a little nervous about this guy.
He's a scary guy.
Yeah. And if Tony's nervous about it, that's pretty bad.
He'll be part of the Greenwich Street Tavern, Fantasy Baseball League, April 1st, 10 a.m. Eastern.
What a crazy.
Right there at Manhattan. If you guys want to stop into the bar that day, we'll have a draft. Everybody will be there. And it was a good time when we did the fantasy football, so it should be a good time that morning. And if you guys want to stop in, crush or flush.
At your own risk, Tony, Cha-Cha, Bailman.
I'm actually recruited a fantasy Hall of Famer to come in and moderate the draft.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
The legend Lenny Melnick. Yeah. Fresh off his...
That'll make the draft about 3 hours longer, though.
Let me
give you my commentary on the round one, pick 12. I'm going to comment on every pick in the first round.
Jonathan Villa, crush or flush, fantasy executive?
Oh, that's easy. This has got to be a crush right here. If he flush, he doesn't like the ADP, but this has got to be a crush.
He got a crush for Jonathan Villa. Crush. He says his 285 average is a touch high, fueled by a 373 batted balls in play, but speedsters generally have well above average batted balls in play. His 19 home runs might be a touch high, especially for a 55% ground ball hitter. But come on, 92 runs, 62 steals. The Brewers love to run. That's a good analysis there by Mr. McFeely, to tell you the truth.
He's solid. McFeely's solid.
He pointed out that the home run's not going to be real because of that high ground ball rate, which is a perfect, perfect analysis on his part. But he also pointed out it doesn't matter. If you get 92 runs scored, 62 steals, and a 270 batting average, you win. And very good job by Tom McFeely there.
Yeah, with Villar, he points out all the key saber metrics. You just can't look at BABIP in a vacuum. You know, it applies to speed hitters differently.
Scott, this guy's a guy I'm interested in your opinion. I don't know if I agree with Tom McFeely here, but I haven't read his analysis yet. Almers Diaz, the Cardinals shortstop.
Ooh, it's a good one.
I'm going to say he says flush.
Why?
Because he has that much of a track record.
Yeah, he says crush. Now, this is Tom's analysis. This is a tough one for me. His early ADP is around 125. I love his skills. Doesn't strike out too much. Takes his walks. Nice fly ball percentage for a shortstop. But without a full season, I can't give him the full endorsement. And this is part of the draft where I like to take a solid skill-based starting pitcher. If you don't have a shortstop at 100, he's your best and maybe only hope for a top 10 shortstop. If you can grab him at middle infielder here, you're doing great on your infield. I do think he easily exceeds his ADP value at season's end. Now, this is interesting because that's the whole thing, right? There's not a lot of track record. This isn't a guy the St. Louis Cardinals were counting on to come up and play as well as he did. That stuff worries me.
That's interesting. You're not going to really get a discount on Diaz in draft day, but he's one of the young shortstops that I was looking at. I think I would like to have some ownership in Diaz this upcoming year. The batting average could be around 300, 20 home runs. So, Almeides Diaz is a player, in my opinion.
I get worried when a guy plays better at the pros than he did in the minors. Diaz in 2015 at Double A, in 409 at bats, had 10 home runs. He had 6 stolen bases and 264 batting average. Then he comes up and gets close to the same at bats, 460 at the major league level. And he has 17 homers, 4 stolen bases, and a 300 batting average. Like, those are really good numbers. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if he can repeat them. He is 26 years of age, so he is a little older for a guy that just came up.
I don't know. Some guys tend to blossom, actually, when they get to the majors more than the minors. Diaz could be one of those cases. I don't know if he's going to hit 300 again, but I'll pencil him in for 280 and about 15 homers.
I'm going to check see where he went at in labor.
This isn't the same position, but I remember Matt Harvey was regarded as like a number two starter before he came up, and then like he had his best seasons in the majors.
Diaz in the labor mixed draft, Diaz went the first pick of the ninth round, and that's about where he's going. If I'm not mistaken, in my NFBC, he went the same place. Tony, you think that's too much for you?
I think that's a little too much, but there's a drop-off after him. Yeah, who is the next couple shortstops?
Let me find it right quick. Off the board after that was Elvis
Andrus,
Brandon Crawford, Eduardo Nunez.
So Elvis Andrus is basically a stolen base guy that'll hit 300. Who is the Brandon Crawford's interesting because Crawford was injured. He plays in a bad ballpark for hitters. But it's worse for left-handed hitters than it is for right-handed hitters. Crawford, of course, in 2015 had 21 home runs. Last year he had 12 home runs. I think he's more of a 10 home run guy. Seven. I think, you know what? I would pick Crawford over him.
Okay, what about Tula Whiskey?
Oh, Jesus, this is a great one. This is
about injuries.
It gets to a point where I don't want to draft Troy Tulowitzki. I'd probably take a shot at both these guys.
Yeah, Eduardo Nunez and Troy Tulowitzki. You know that thing, you can waffle back and forth on that one too.
Yeah, so there you have it. We'll come back with more Crush or Flush on the Roto Experts in the morning. We'll get a poll update to see if Craig Sussman's getting pedicures. Stay tuned for more from the Roto Experts in the morning. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the morning. The King, Scott Engel, and of course, Fantasy Executive Corey Boston, and the poll master today is Donnie Burns. Donnie Russo's a kid I went to school with.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
You know the whole LeSean McCoy thing that we were talking about the other day?
Yes.
I saw two interesting tweets real quick I'd like to bring up. Chris Wessling. Go ahead.
First, we got to give the poll results. People are on the edge of the seat. I got to deliver. The management gets mad when you don't deliver, when you promise something and then you don't deliver, Scott Engel.
Yes, true.
do you think Greg Sussman gets pedicures? 74% of the people say yes, 26 say no. I would guess it would go 75-25 with my guess, so I think the people are right there.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Yeah. All right. Now let's get to
it. Everybody has
Greg with a sweater around his neck.
Everybody has Sussman as a pedicure guy.
Yeah. Probably as a personal pedicure guy.
Tomorrow we'll ask about Ken.
The Ken doll.
Yeah. What do you got going on, Scott?
Chris Wessling of NFL.com tweeted this morning, "We've graduated beyond the stone age of football. Those who haven't played the game at the highest level are fully capable of understanding and communicating its beauty as well as its intricacies." And then right on my timeline was kind of unrelated, but I found Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s tweet very interesting in the same vein. He said, "The one thing I enjoy most about my job and my career is getting to spend time with gifted writers and media folks."
So how do those coincide?
Well, I think obviously the Wessling thing was a rebuttal to LeSean McCoy's angle about the media and the analysts, and then Dale Earnhardt Jr. is like totally on the different side of the fence, which I think it's kind of rare you hear that from professional sports figure.
The Fantasy Exec, when you think about it, and LeSean McCoy, and of course for all the people out there, he basically had a tirade against Pro Football Focus because he was not in the top 100 players in the National Football League, according to Pro Football Focus.
Mm-hmm.
And he went off and he personally attacked them, called them nerds, he called them geeks. He basically thinks that they've never played football in their life and they wouldn't know anything about football. What's your thoughts, Finnick, how it went down with LeSean McCoy and Pro Football Focus?
I think Shady took it personal. I think he had a bad day. I think if he was to go back, I think he would regret doing and saying that. He knows that it's going to come a point in his career where the media is going to be, something that he's going to need the media. So I think an apology is in order. I don't think he's mature enough to do so, but I'm going to write it off to having a bad day.
LeSean McCoy is a little out there as far as his character. Now,
yeah.
He's the guy that got in trouble for charging people to come to his birthday party.
Well, he had the thing. He has shown bits of immaturity at time. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is like LeSean McCoy is probably a little bit too old to be showing that Odell Beckham level of maturity. So I think he's got to maybe stay off Twitter. But you got to think, this dude's a rich young athlete. He doesn't really care too much about what other people can really think about him. Well, apparently he does, because he tweeted at PFF that they sucking and they're a bunch of nerves. A bunch of nerds, excuse me. But, Shady, he's just being, it's just Shady being Shady. But, yeah, maturity is not his strong point.
I didn't see this at the time, but LeSean McCoy actually threw a shot at his coach just recently, his former coach. And it says, discipline has been an issue with the Bills. This was the last day of 2016. According to LeSean McCoy, this has been an issue with the Bills this season. Cited plays, not being on time, not knowing their assignments on the field. McCoy says he does not necessarily want a strict coach to replace Rex Ryan, as Sammy Watkins suggested Thursday, but he wants the next coach to be respectful. I guess the Bills don't show up for practice.
I guess they kind of do what they want to do up there in northern New York. So they got they brought in McDermott, right? I don't know what his history is as far as his coaching style.
They should have brought in Tom Coughlin. He would have fixed that.
Yeah, but Tom, you don't want to make the team hate you either. You know what I'm saying?
Why not though? Like, it's so crazy. I agree with you. Like, the mentality's changed, but why can't they hate the coach? I mean, you have a lot of successful coaches in the history of sports that were hated by their teams, and it seemed to work. I mean, you look at it. Like Billy Martin, Mike Ditka wasn't the easiest guy to get along with.
Hubie Brown?
Yeah.
Hubie Brown?
Yeah, he was like, people hated him as a coach. Like,
really?
He was a real, real hard ass. Jimmy Johnson, a lot of his Cowboy players hated him too. I understand it. I mean, we all hate Mike Cardano too, you know?
I'm not going that far.
What's wrong with you? What's it? Yeah, like, why does everyone have to be a players coach these days?
They're not always. Tom Coughlin won two Super Bowls.
Because
I know.
Because you don't. Why does everyone have to be a players coach? You kind of have to. Or you're not going to get a job. Because today's
Coughlin may not be getting a job because of it. Well, he's got a job now.
Coughlin had to change.
What's that?
He had to change his approach.
He still had a lot of rules. People about being late for meetings and stuff like that. He still had his ways.
He had to change his approach a little bit, and so he had to.
He did, and then winning.
Is Bill Belichick a player's coach?
I don't think Bill Belichick is a.
I'll tell you what. I watched this the other day. It was Do Your Job. It was the name of the show. It was basically a capsule of 2014
NFL
season.
Network.
Yeah, he is way more than you would ever expect a player's coach. And he didn't see him interact with the players much, but with the other assistant coaches, they had a lot more leeway than you would ever anticipate with Bill Belichick there. And he really took their advice in a lot of situations.
Yeah. Sometimes, good coach will do that. He'll lean on his assistants, especially like if he comes from a coordinating background, and he's not – good on one side of the ball or the other. It's like your assistants have to be extensions of yourself in a lot of ways.
When you've had that kind of success that he's had, it's he's a player's coach. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he's getting the job done. I think the interesting thing with him is I think it's a part of him that we don't really see, that we don't know about, and that we speculate on. Like, he's gruff with the media and stuff like that, but I'm quite sure his players inside. Probably very.
A lot of players hated Pat Riley too.
Oh well, Pat Riley is a me guy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Pat Riley's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yeah. You know what I'm saying. So, the big egomaniac Pat Riley.
He was more than that. Before he became the egomaniac, though, I heard he was like a really stern guy.
You gotta like those stern guys, right? You got like the hardcore disciplinary. Like, there isn't any of those in sports now when you think about it. Like, would you say is the meanest, craziest coach in any sport?
Meanest, craziest coach in any sport.
Like, there's no Billy Martin. There's no Luke Pinellas.
No Dallas
Earl
Green.
Weavis.
What do you think about Nick Saban?
There's no Woody Hayes. He might be it.
I think Nick Saban might be the closest we got to one of those guys right now, at least that I could think of, at least off the top of my head quickly. I don't have
He's abusing
them.
Those poor college kids.
I think they eat grass. You know what I mean? I mean, but that's Alabama football. That's Bear Bryant. You know what I'm saying? So that's like, you go there, you know what you're in for.
Yeah, you're definitely there. You're not there for the education, is what you're saying?
Well, you know, if that's your choice. Put it like that. Your education
Chip,
is your
Chip
choice.
Chip Kelly wasn't fashioned as a player's coach in Philly.
But Chip Kelly was, he's not a player's coach, but he's like, see, it's one thing when you're not a player's coach and you're a hard ass and you're tough and you're stern, but you're respected. See, right. Chip Kelly wasn't respected. That's the difference right there. Chip Kelly seemed like a go behind the back guy. You know what I'm saying? Tell you one thing to your face, go upstairs, set the ownership something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the kind of play. That's the kind of guy Chip Kelly comes across as.
Right.
I'm not a fan.
Pete Carroll. Look at your guy, Pete Carroll. He's a player's coach.
Yeah.
But look what he did with Reggie Bush.
I think he would fornicate some of those players.
I honestly don't know too much about Pete Carroll in college.
Well, he did a whole bunch of lying. You know what I'm saying? He did a whole bunch of lying. And then when the going got tough, he went to Seattle.
He went to Seattle.
I'm glad the going got tough.
He did a little Chip Kelly.
Yeah, he sure did. He acted like he didn't know what was going on with Reggie Bush and stuff like that. Come on now.
It's very sad. Very sad state. But you know what? It could all be fixed.
USC's loss? Seattle's game.
I love what he's done in Seattle.
What's that?
I heard they're making a movie of Malcolm Butler, actually. The life of Malcolm Butler, yeah.
Really?
So your Seahawks will be heavily featured in that movie.
Oh, of course. You know, that's really what made him.
It's crazy when you think about how far this kid's come in the last couple of years.
Yeah, now he's like first team all pro.
Yeah. Just by jumping a pass route, and it changed everything.
You watch that game, you know, he was doing more in that game before that. I know he got burnt on that crazy curse play, but... You know, anybody who was actually watching that team, you know, knew he was something before, starting to become something before that.
We come back, we'll do some more crush or flush with Tom McFeely. Tom McFeely is a guy that's not on my Facebook page, but he's still a good guy. He'd be a guy I would accept. I'm starting to get good, though, at figuring out who you robots are on Facebook and who real people are.
Yeah.
So don't try to friend me and then sell sunglasses on my Facebook page. You're not getting away with it, people. You can't fool me anymore. I know who you are. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning. Stay tuned. Crush or Flush up next. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King, Scott Engel, the man known as the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, and we've got our poll master, Donnie Burns.
Slowed it down for us coming back from the break, Don Burns.
Yeah. Yeah, what happened there?
A little R&B for the guys on this early Thursday morning.
I don't know. You ever make love on a Thursday morning at 9:30? I mean, listening to the Roto Experts, like, I would think that's
I don't know. I wasn't actually ready for that either because I saw R&B on the side. I thought it was going to be good.
It can happen, Tony. It can happen.
Really?
Lay back and do it like it's the last time.
Greg Sussman could be making love right now on a Thursday morning listening to the Roto Experts.
Not with these poll results.
He probably won.
What? You don't think women like
he's
guys?
He's probably doing it to like Monday Night Raw reruns.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you don't think women like guys with good feet?
What?
Donnie?
The way you're portraying it, no. But, I mean, I don't really see a problem with it. But the way you guys were portraying it before, I would say
if a woman was listening
to the show, she would have second thoughts.
Oh, she would?
Like I said, the way you were portraying it.
I don't know. What do you think, Fantasy? We were portraying it for what exactly it was, right?
Yeah, I mean, we had the conversation. We know he's down there in Boca chilling, so he's probably on the beach. We were curious if he had a pedicure, you know what I'm saying, so he can go out there with his sandals on, you know what I mean? So It's interesting to see what the audience clearly thinks that he is a sandals guy, which makes him a flush.
Corey, what do you think Sussman would be like on the beach?
I think he would be cool to hang out with.
Yeah.
We went down to Monmouth, right? You know, he was cool out there.
Yeah, but we aren't on the beach, though.
Close enough.
Yeah.
So what is cool about Greg Sussman?
I've known Greg Sussman for a long time, you know what I'm saying? I've always thought he was friendly, nice guy, and then he does a good job.
He's a genuinely good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Sussmania, but he doesn't do crush or flush, and that's Tom McFeely. He was the crush or flusher for the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package. He breaks down crush and flush like nobody's business. Now, this is a guy that's interesting because he had a big year last year, and a lot of people think he's fraudulent. Crush or flush, Philadelphia Phillies shortstop Freddie Galvis, Scott Engel.
I'm going to say flush, you know, especially with the top prospect in the system on the way up.
According to Mr. Tom McFeely, Freddie Galvis is a crush.
Really?
He says, remember when I said that because a shortstop hit 20 home runs last year, that he won't repeat this year? Galvis is the poster boy for that. His OBP was 274. I can never bet on that kind of play. His 20 home runs and 17 steals will stand out for sure. He'll put up similar but smaller power numbers. His terrible plate discipline, if he improves his 27-year-old season, could be a great value. Galvis is a speedy play, not a great one. Imagine 15 home runs and maybe 25 steals. But he doesn't even get on base nearly enough. But his ADP is after 350. So guess what? He's a crush. So he doesn't like anything about Freddie Galvis, but when he finds out he's going over 350, he's in.
Yeah, I just wonder, you know, what's the timeline for Galvis staying on Crawford? I mean, staying at shortstop when J.P. Crawford's going to be up at some point this year.
Well, how do you know?
Well,
I mean, Freddie Galvis plays well. Why would they bring the other kid up?
Well, that's the top prospect in their system. They absolutely love him.
I know, but why rush it? They're not going to win anything.
I think you know, this is the kid that, you know, they're banking on their future with, and you know they want to get him playing time at the major league level.
No, because you start the service clock, right, and then you have to pay him.
I'm saying it's some point this year. I didn't say
he's only 22.
He would have to have a very, very good spring training.
It's,
I think injury,
it's possible.
I think injury is likely the way for him to come to break camp.
I was talking to Phillies beat writers late last season, was saying he does, you know, Crawford is like on the radar for this season.
If he's on the radar, they better get a better farm system in Philadelphia. These are the numbers. 2015, 5 home runs, 7 stolen bases, 265 at AA. At Double A in 2016, 3 home runs, 5 stolen bases, 265. And Phillies Triple A, 4 home runs, 7 stolen bases, 244. If this is what the best they have, they're not doing too well.
Yeah, those minor league numbers that you quote, but like, I don't know, maybe he does need more time at the majors, but I've been hearing they want to fast track him.
Who are you listening to?
Yeah,
I think you better get
Phillies
some
beat
new
writer.
Friends. You better get some new friends. I'm looking at, he is the number one prospect in the organization.
Yes.
He's
a lot of what they talk about, though, is not fantasy related, though. You know, talking about, you know, how good he is in the field and everything.
Oh, so he's a good defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
That does nothing for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're like in a score sheet, you know, one of those leagues, like, not like the plan.
He doesn't have power. You know, he doesn't, you know, he's not a speedy guy. He's pretty good in his judgment on the bases, but, you know, they feel like he can still improve, and, you know, they just feel like he's one of the cornerstones.
Oh, he can. He's 22.
Yeah.
He's only 22. That's what I said. I think
I'm saying, you know, at some point this season, I'm expecting to see him up in the majors, and I'm wondering how that's going to affect Galvis.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be up.
He's got the hits. You know, the good defense is not enough. Okay, so if he's good defensively, then maybe you get him in like an only league or something like that. I'm not fooling around with J.P. Crawford. I don't know anything about this dude.
J.P. Crawford, if you go in the top 100 prospects, he's in it in Major League Baseball. But he's further down the list. The list I'm looking at, they didn't put numbers next to it, so I could actually see how far he is down the list. But he's further down the list. So yeah,
you're probably right about this, Tony. It's just like, you know, I had to bring it up because I heard so much buzz about him.
Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers right now too.
Here we go. I got a little comment from one of these smart, geeky guys at Fangraphs. Without defense counting, J.P. Crawford's value drops significantly. He's a perfect example why prospect lists shouldn't be used without needed context. Kevin Newman, Ozzie Albies, Nick Gordon are three other defensive first prospects who take a hit in fantasy versus real life rankings.
There you go, your boy Ozzie.
I don't know what about Ozzie Albies. Like, you know, he can hit average and he's got some speed.
So those are the guys there. Defense. Defense matters.
Yeah,
it don't make a difference for us unless you're playing a score sheet league with Nando, which I don't.
I'm just saying in terms of him getting up there.
Yeah, Ozzy's got a lot of work to do with his bat too. Oh Jesus, I didn't
realize. It's that bad, huh, Tony?
Well, he doesn't have enough. First of all, he's too young. He's no way, Ozzy. I disagree, Scott. There's no way this kid plays in Major League Baseball this year.
I expected him to play this year. What I said is, you know, with Albers, I disagree that, you know, he's got nothing appealing offensively.
He's 20 years old, first of all, so that's not going to help him there. Because, like I said, a lot of people in Major League Baseball, they always think about the 6 years that you have the guy under team control, and you want him there for his most productive years. And they would be, actually, he'd be a free agent right before that. And then at-bats, he's only had 371 at-bats at the AA level and 247 at the AAA level. And he has no power. He can steal some bases. But last year, he only hit 248.
He was terrific last year. His batting average was terrible last year. So he needs some more seasoning in AAA. So Brandon Phillips' job unless he gets hurt.
Yeah, Albert's is the kid of the future, though. The part I disagreed with that he's just a defense guy. I mean, he hit 300 before he got to AAA, and he's stolen 30 bases in each of the last 2 years at different levels. So I don't think it's this year for Ozzie Albers, but I definitely something to keep an eye on in the future for speed in the middle infield.
The good thing about him for a young player is he doesn't have a large strikeout rate. He's at 15%, which is actually good at the major league level. So he could be all right there, but he'll probably be a couple of years away. As the Atlanta Braves retool, bring in some veterans to try to get that first year in the new ballpark to be successful. I'm actually going to go to a game there this year. I'm going to drive out there, Scott, and go to a game at the new ballpark.
That should be cool. The Braves are doing it right as an organization. You know, they have the new ballpark. They're getting guys like Kemp and Phillips. And, they're even going the way of Bartolo Colon and R.A. Dickey.
Jaime Garcia.
So they can have names that people recognize. They can have competitive major league veterans. But their farm system is so rich, you know, that they're looking at the future, too.
They got people excited about the future. Atlanta, a place you'd like to hang out? Fantasy executive.
Oh yeah. I'm cool with it. Yeah, it's good times.
I went to a game last year. I've never been to a basketball game in Atlanta though. I've gone to the football games. I've gone to the baseball games. Never been to a Hawks game as of yet.
Now one of my homies went to a Hawks game the other night. They had a good time.
Scotty, do you like visiting other arenas and other ballparks?
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, it's. I had a good time going to the Metrodome back when they had football. I went to a Redskins game back before they had the new stadium. Pittsburgh
with
RFK. Old RFK. I've been to Pittsburgh, which was really nice. Heinz Field.
There you have it. We're gonna take a quick break. Final break on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Guess what's coming up next? It's going to be Old Friends Fantasy. Is that how he calls it? Old Friends Fantasy.
Old school fantasy, Tony.
Oh, yeah. Old Friends.
Yeah.
You know why? Old Friends Fantasy would be off. You guys could be off.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. You're a little off certain days. Not to do sports related, though. Just off in general. As we get a little crazy. I was just told a perverted joke, but I decided to skip it. Stay tuned for more Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King, Scott Engel, and, of course, the fantasy executive. For everybody out there, the golf tournament has just kicked off. One of the greatest things about daily fantasy sports is right when the lineups, close, I like to go in there and see the ownership percentages of the guys there. Yeah, I get excited about that. So I jumped in during a commercial break, was checking things out. Number one golfer this week is Dustin Johnson, depending on what tournament you're going. He's 42% to 44% owned in this week's golf action. Out there, and we'll have things kicking off momentarily in the golf tournament. Scott Engel, the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package is on sale right now. People can use the code word free radio and go out there and purchase that, as they'll be ready and prepared for Fantasy Baseball 2017 with our new and improved cheat sheet generator.
Yes, and for all kinds of leagues, you can even generate your own auction values.
Like that. I'm going to do it today.
Are you going to generate your own auction values, or are you going to pop some? Well, most of the leagues you play in, Tony, have the same settings, right? 5x5, 15 teams.
I don't play anything else. Yeah. You know what's crazy? I didn't think I would like, when I first played Daily Fantasy Sports, I didn't think I'd like it, because I don't like the points aspect. Like, when people play fantasy baseball points leagues, I'm not a big fan of that. I think it's like, I don't know, it's too easy. And then I liked it fantasy baseball wise, so I don't know why I can't, you know, just do points leagues as well. But I never have in a long time. Scott, do you do any?
I haven't done points leagues. It's like, you know, in a little while. It's, I'm like you. It's like I'm more of a traditional, you know, rotisserie guy, and the dynasty league that I play in. I guess it's a kind of like dynasty combo keeper league. It's like, you don't have a set number of keepers, but, you base it under a keeper salary cap. So every team ends up keeping like 3 to 5 players every year. But, we also have a minor league draft, and you get to carry all over your minor leaguers. So, it's different for me in that respect.
You know, we were talking about pedicures earlier in the show. Scott, have you ever gone tanning?
I actually tried it when I was in college.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
Didn't work for me.
No.
And I got all that hair. It's like, there's nowhere for the tanning for the tanning bulb to go. So.
This set's got all fire in that joint. Burned his back up.
But just to finish the thing about points leagues, though, is that I'd rather go with rotisserie league, where I have something like, we have on base plus slugging percentage, and I'd rather dabble with the extra categories.
I agree, Donnie. Are you a tanning guy?
No, have you seen me? I'm extremely Irish. That would be way too obvious, and I've never done it, and I don't think I'm going to try it.
Really?
Have you seen how white I am?
Yeah.
It just wouldn't executive. Work.
I just don't want to leave you out. How about you?
No, I've never been to this tanning salon. But every now and then you go out of town, whatever, and then throughout the course of the summertime, you'll just if you're outside, whatever the case may be, you'll get like a natural tent, My children, they're outside the whole summer, and sometimes they come in the house. I'd be like, who are these kids?
See, you never know. You never know what you're going to get.
I wonder if Sussman will come back with like...
More than likely, Sussman will have a nice little,
Yeah.
A nice little what?
Nice little tan when he comes back.
Yeah.
He's probably sitting by the pool. You know what I'm saying? Him and his girlfriend sitting by the pool. They got little things with the tanning things, the little cardboard you put over you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They probably listening to some Justin Bieber and and drinking pina coladas.
You got to be careful, Susmania. Don't drink too many pina coladas in the hot tub. You're drinking those things for like more than 30 minutes. It's hard to get out of them. You can't get drunk in those things. I'm worried about Susmania's safety when it comes there. We did a little crush or flush today. You guys can go and read Tom McFeely's article. He's a former award winner in the Fantasy Sports Writers Association.
Yes, he is. One of four auto experts to win Best Humor article.
We have a lot of former award winner writings here at the Roto Experts. How many awards have we won collectively since the existence of the Roto Experts?
Oh, I'd have to count those up. If you count up the nominations, though, that's a big matzo ball out there.
Pat Mayo thinks he has the most nominations in the history of... is that true?
Look, I don't know because I haven't counted it. Yeah. But it's hard just to get nominated, you know?
He gets nominated.
Yeah. It's like I've been nominated four times and I've won once. You know, not counting the Hall of Fame.
So you're a 250 hitter?
Yeah.
We'll get you.
I've nominated twice for racing, once for podcast of the year for this past year for the Hall of Fame hour, and I won football writer of the year the time I was nominated.
Great job by you, Scotty Engel.
Yeah. But the Hall of Fame is the highest honor. So once you win that, it's like, where else do you go?
So is that why you packed it in?
No, I didn't pack it in. I just got nominated for one this past year.
He's the king, Scott Engel. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Eastern right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It'll be Donnie Burns. Great job today, Donnie. Donnie was a little hesitant, didn't really know how to handle the poll situation, but he got through it. He got the poll up there. Great job by Donnie. Fantasy Exec, what's coming up next on Old School?
Old School Fantasy Hour. We're going to play a little ADP pick'em also. Got some news on Matt Wieters we're going to get into. And we may take a look at the latest Mel Kiper's big board. So got all of that stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, it's about that time of year. So
yeah, it's come quick.
Yeah, it has come quick. It's getting right there. The Combine is coming up in about, I think the Combine is next weekend. So
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll get fired up for that. Did you get Matt Wieters a home?
Matt Wieters, it looks like we have two options right now for Matt Wieters. Oh, that's what it looks like. We're down to two teams. One of them we talked about earlier this morning.
Oh, there we go. So we got homes for Matt Wieters. We've got other things going on in the King, Scott Engel. We'll be pumping out the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package information. If you don't buy it today, they're going to be flying off the bookshelves, because we do. We keep them on bookshelves. We don't tell anyone that. We just send you the email copy. But we have a whole bunch of these on bookshelves, right, Scott?
Yeah. I guess bookshelves, though, are things of the past. I guess we got them on the virtual bookshelves.
Yeah, well, that's right. Bookshelf. Yeah. I never thought about that. Bookshelf makers. Hope they're making something else, because those things ain't selling anything anymore. Great job. Coming up next, you got to listen to Old School Fantasy, the King, Scott Engel. You get the Fantasy Executive. You get the angry George Kurtz, who plays hockey but doesn't wear a cup. You could ask him why if it's not needed. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 a.m. Eastern.